The following is a recording from Sunday morning worship at Faith Presbyterian Church in Covington, Louisiana. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you join us any Sunday at 11 a.m. for worship. For more details, check out faithpreschurch.org.
Well, if you're visiting here with us for the first time, welcome to Faith. We have some visitor information cards in our seat backs. If you could fill one of those out and put it in our offering boxes here or in the back, we'd really appreciate that. For every one of those that we receive, we donate $5 to the North Lake Crisis Pregnancy Center. So that's a way you can be a blessing not only to us, but also to our community. And I encourage members and regular attenders to give your tithes and offerings there or online at faithpreschurch.org/give. We give not under compulsion, but as an act of worship. We do it out of gratitude and joy in what Christ has done for us. Well, Brittany is already here. Which means when I dismiss the kids for children's worship, Jonathan's going to have to block the door. All right, so you're our door blocker. But let me pray for us as we prepare to read God's word. Father, we thank you that you are not a silent God, but a God who speaks, and that you have spoken through your scriptures. So as we hear the scriptures read and preached here and in children's worship, we ask that you would open our ears, that as it is read, we would receive it with faith, that we would be sharpened by it, that we might live in the way of Christ. And more specifically, Lord, with this text, I pray for those who today wonder if they truly belong to Christ. And I ask, oh God, that your word would be a comfort and a reassurance to them. And if there's any who does not know Christ, that today, through your word, they would trust him. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Can everybody hear me now? Okay, good. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. You can find that in your pew Bible at 1022 page and Following Jesus Bible page 1346. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, if you have little ones, first grade and under, who'd like to go across the way for children's worship, where we have a sermon prepared for them from this text at an age-appropriate level, they can line up now with Miss Brittany and our team. And if anyone's visiting, and this is your child's first time back there, we just ask that one parent go with them to get them signed up with our team so they can be aware of any needs that they may have. Well, we are not done with 1 John today. But we're closing a section out. So for the last four Sundays, including today, we've been exploring this extended thought that John has been teaching, and it is this, that when the Holy Spirit indwells someone, he actively encourages that person's growth in three things: faith, holiness, and love for Christian brother. So today's text kind of closes this idea out. I mean, we're going to hear these themes continuing through the letter. But John asks the question, do you see these things in you, in yourself? Do you see faith? Do you see holiness? Do you see a love for Christian brother and sister? If you do, take heart. Be encouraged, because the Holy Spirit lives in you and is working in you. Look at verse 19 in our text. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. John says you can know that you're a Christian. You can have confidence that you are, in fact, a child of God. In my past, when I've had seasons of doubt, when I've struggled with assurance as to whether I was a Christian or not, passages like this one held out this hope. You can know that you're saved. Sometimes verses like this stood out there as this almost unattainable ideal. Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, some people can know, but surely not me. And yet, John doesn't stutter. You can know that you're of the truth and reassure your heart before God. Why is it that Christians, in my experience, most Christians, seem to have these moments of doubt as to whether they're really a Christian, whether they really belong to God? Usually, it's because one of these three things is shaky. It's flagging, or it's weak. When our faith, holiness, or love seem weak, it's normal to question whether you're really God's child. These are signs of the Holy Spirit in you. If you don't see them in you, it's normal to ask the question, is he in me or not? Look again, verses 19 and 20. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. How does a person's heart, their internal dialogue, how does a person's heart condemn them? Well, we can go back to those three things. Like, if your faith is shaky, you're doubting aspects of the gospel, you start to wonder, would a Spirit-filled Christian be asking these questions? Would a Spirit-filled Christian be feeling this way? Faith is one of those things that can trigger those kinds of things. Also, a lack of holiness. If you're consistently falling to temptation, you're consistently sinning in shameful ways, it's normal to ask, has the Holy Spirit given me a new heart? With the law written on it, he made this promise in the scriptures. Has that happened? Or maybe it's a failure of love. When you realize you're telling other people you love them, but you're not loving them through your deeds, which John has talked about, you might start to think, am I any different from an unbeliever? I feel like a hypocrite. So these three things, faith, holiness, love, these are evidences of the Holy Spirit's work in us. And if the evidence is lacking, it's not unreasonable to ask, am I legitimately saved? Do I have the Holy Spirit or not? My intent this morning is not to tell you, you guys, y'all are all saved, you're good. Don't worry about it. You may not be. If these things are absolutely absent in your life, that's something to be concerned about, because this is the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in us. But John tells us you can have assurance. You can know that you're a child of God. So that I'm not just going to make you feel better. I want to show you how you can have assurance that you do belong to God. So, in circumstances like these, you're looking at your faith, you're looking at your holiness, you're looking at your love for Christian brother and sister, and they seem like they're not that strong, and you're not really sure if they're growing or even there at all. What do you do? Well, in those circumstances, first, don't panic. Don't panic. Your feelings, your thoughts, and your conclusions are not always reflective of reality. Look again at verse 20. Whenever our heart condemns us, what does it say? Y'all are the least charismatic Presbyterians I've ever met. Verse 20, let's read, follow along with me. Chris and I were talking about that. I'm going off track now, so you've done it. When I was a kid, I must have been like 9 or 10. I was real young. I remember an old-timey preacher preaching on the Bereans in the book of Acts. Y'all remember these guys? So the Bereans, Paul goes to their town. They're already Christians. He's preaching to them, and they're checking the scriptures to make sure Paul's telling the truth. They're keeping an apostle honest. And I remember this old preacher saying, you need to be like this too. You need to keep preachers honest. So there's a lot of bad preachers out there. There's a lot of hypocritical preachers out there. There's a lot of preachers teaching crazy stuff. If we would open our Bibles and look at what they're preaching from and call them out on it, it might be a good thing for the whole church. So keep me honest. One way you can keep me honest is by looking at the scriptures when I'm reading and make sure I'm not skipping stuff or misrepresenting stuff. So keep me honest. Back to verse 20. Let's try it again. So it says, for whenever our heart condemns us, what? Woo, man, that's, how about that? God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. What is John saying? Your heart might condemn you, but your heart might be wrong. You don't know everything. God does know everything. And so here's another reason that Christians doubt their faith. It's not always a failure of faith or holiness or love for Christian brother and sister. The enemy's an accuser. Satan means adversary. And he is very cunning and very skilled at telling Christians that they're not really Christians to get them to doubt. So if your heart condemns you, you might not be a Christian. But your heart might be wrong. God knows the truth. So if your faith, holiness, and love are lacking, or you're just not sure if you're a Christian, what do? You don't panic. Instead, do this. Prayerfully examine Jesus' commands and ask for God's loving conviction. So when people, and this happens often, when people tell me they're not sure they're a Christian, they're afraid God doesn't love them, they're not really forgiven, they don't have the Spirit, in those conversations, they say the word ought and should a lot, followed by imperatives that Jesus never said or that God never said. They're basing their assurance on these new laws that they themselves have created or that others have imposed upon them. You might do the same thing. So just as this isn't a fill-in-the-blank thing, as a case study, here's two sentences. I want you in your head to fill it in how you would be tempted to fill it in. I'd be a better Christian if I'd only... What would you think? Or if you were saying, if only I do this better, God would feel better about me. These are the narratives that I hear most often when I'm talking to people about assurance of faith. Another way, some of you, probably most of you have heard me say this before, like if God were to descend from heaven right now and look you in the face, knowing your whole story, knowing your deepest, darkest secrets, and if he was going to sum you up, he was going to give an assessment of you, what would he say? When I ask people that question, almost to a T, their response is, I love you, but I wish you'd do this a little more consistently. I wish you would have not done that. That's not the gospel. And if that is the reason why you're struggling with assurance, I'm going to encourage you to go back to the gospel. But we have to start with looking at Jesus' commands. You know, if you were to say, I'd be a better Christian if only I believed Jesus was God, yes. That falls within the right category. But if you doubt your salvation because of some self-made or others-made ideal, that's not the gospel of free grace. So don't let commands from other people or from yourself burden your conscience. John directs us to the commands of Jesus. Look at verses 23 and 24. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us, faith and love. Verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments, which would extend to personal holiness, abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. What did Jesus command us to do? Trust me, follow me, love each other. So what I'm encouraging you to do is think about those three things. If you're struggling with whether you're a Christian or not, look at your faith. Look at your holiness. Look at your love for Christian brother and sister, and prayerfully ask God to show you if you are failing in some of these ways, if you are failing to trust him, to obey him, or to love others. Because God not only knows you better than you know yourself, he's also the only one who can do anything about it. For three Sundays, where does faith come from? Where does personal holiness come from? Where does love for Christian brother and sister come from? The Spirit. God is the one who does it in us. So if you're seeing a failure or a lack in those areas, to whom should you go? To God. Here's a point. This is from our men's cohort a couple weeks ago. Don't fall into the trap of condemning thoughts leading to personal commitment to change. That's not the gospel. Christianity is not feeling bad and then committing to fix myself. That's moralism. That's humanism. That's every other religion in the world. It's not the gospel. The message of Christianity is not God loves you, so be good. The message of Christianity is no one's good except God, but he loves sinners, so run to him. So back to your heart. If your heart's condemning you, you may be a Christian, you may not be. But whether you are or not, the imperative is the same. Run to God with your condemning heart. Don't resolve to be better, to do better, to hope that your feelings change in time. Take your guilt, your shame, your condemning heart to the one who can do something about it. For you to know that you belong to Jesus, really know it, God is going to have to silence every condemnation that your heart dredges up. He's going to have to put those voices to rest. We don't gain assurance by doubling down, by making new promises to ourselves, new promises to Jesus, new promises to others. We don't gain assurance through self-discipline and law-keeping. If anything, that only hardens our heart and gives us pride. Assurance is gained by bringing every accusation and condemnation to the just, all-knowing God who still forgives sinners. The God who knows your sin, the God whose wrath burns against your sin, and yet forgives sinners because of the work of the cross. That's where assurance is found, is by going to him. Look at verses 20 and 21. Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before whom? Before God. The goal is not confidence in your own mind. If your heart can be fooled in a negative direction into thinking you're not a Christian, it can also be fooled into thinking you're a Christian. You can give yourself confidence before yourself. No, this is talking about something totally different. Confidence before God. The just, all-knowing God. So the goal is not getting confidence in your own mind. It's not convincing your own heart. It's confidence before him. So how could you possibly ever have confidence before a perfect God that you are forgiven, loved, and a child of God? I'll tell you how you never do it. Through your works. There's no improvement plan that's going to live up to God's law. Your works will always fall short. But if the work of the Holy Spirit is going on in your life, that's not of you. It's evidence that he is there actively making war against your flesh. And if you can see the work of the Holy Spirit in you, in spite of you, that objective evidence in your life, that will give you assurance and confidence before God. So let's get practical. We're going to walk through each of these one at a time: faith, holiness, love for Christian brother and sister. And I'm going to help you see how John teaches us to find assurance. Let's start with faith. So let's say your faith, you don't feel like your faith is very strong. You feel like your faith is weak, and it makes you wonder if you're really a Christian. Where do you start? Well, first, if your faith or lack thereof seems to condemn you, figure out what you mean by that. What do you mean that your faith is weak? Because there are a lot of different things that can mean. Maybe you are doubting a specific tenet of the gospel. Like you're struggling with the resurrection or the incarnation or something like that. Maybe you're being persuaded of another religion or another worldview. That's a totally different faith issue. Maybe you're just having a hard time believing that God could actually love you with your history and your story. Those are all faith issues, but they're all very different. In these last 3 weeks, we've seen John time and time again say things like, don't be deceived by what these other people are saying. Believe the gospel. Don't listen to that. Listen to him. If you feel like your faith is weak, I think you got to start by saying, what am I actually failing to believe, or what am I actually starting to believe? What is the other narrative that I'm hearing, so that you can then contrast that and compare that to the gospel? Get real clear on what am I being tempted to believe rather than the gospel. And if you don't know how to do that, you don't know how to start with that, come talk to me, come talk to one of the elders, come talk to a host of mature Christians here who have been there and walked through that and could help you discern that. Because what I find is that there's just kind of this enigma of faith out here, and my faith doesn't feel right. What does that mean? You got to start there. But once you've discerned what your weakness of faith is really about, what it is that you're doubting or not believing or something else that you're believing, where do you go from there? Once you've discerned that, confess your struggle to God and ask Him to strengthen your faith in the gospel. If your heart condemns you because your faith is weak, you're trusting some other story, some other faith, some other narrative, call that out, confess it to God, and ask Him, help me to believe the gospel. Those of you who've been here for a while have heard me talk many times before about how I struggled with assurance of faith and how I had seasons of doubt. This was one of the biggest ones for me. Ironically, it was because I was having evangelistic conversations with unbelieving friends and family. And as I would listen to their viewpoint, listen to their arguments, those questions would start to nag at me. And I'd start to wonder, well, what if they're right? What if I've misunderstood things? So how do you deal with that? One thing I started praying when I would feel that tension is I would pray, Holy Spirit, preach the gospel to me. Help me to believe your message instead of these other messages. I didn't ignore the other narratives. I didn't ignore the other faiths. And I didn't do the kind of Kierkegaardian just leap into the darkness. Oh, well, I'm just going to believe. It wasn't that at all. Day after day, I asked God, help me to believe the gospel. Help me to see its truth. Help me to be convinced in my guts that this is the true way. And as I prayed that and longed for that and continually took that to God, in time, here's what I started to see. The gospel is not just true in contrast to these lies. It's also beautiful. And I get such delight in it. I asked God, and He strengthened my faith. He grew my assurance. When I look back on my story, and I know the seasons of doubt and darkness that I had, God, I didn't bring me through that. God brought me through that. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit's work in me. I have nothing to boast in. There was no trick. I just consistently took it back to God. Here I am. Grow my faith. As verse 24 says, by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He's given us. So if this is an area of your Christian walk that helps you, that you struggle with, that you feel like your assurance is not so solid, it causes you doubt or insecurity, God can strengthen your faith even though you can't. So take your struggle to Him. For some of us, that's not it at all. I know many people at FPC that have told me, no, I just believe. I've never struggled with faith. God bless you. That's a miracle of the Holy Spirit. That's not been my experience, and I'm glad that's been your experience. But for others, it's a failure to love others well. You look at your life, and you see a lot of loving words, but not really a heart of love and a life of love toward others. So if you feel condemned by a failure to love others in word and deed, first, remember what love really is and where it came from. This is kind of a flashback to a couple Sundays ago. So if you're afraid, it's a helicopter. It is allowed a helicopter. What kind of, you know what kind of helicopter it is, Isaac? Can you tell from the, all right. I know you young boys like helicopters and tanks and stuff, but I just didn't know. Well, now that that's gone, if you're afraid you don't love God and neighbor like you ought, and therefore you might not be a Christian, it might be useful to go back and revisit last week's sermon where we defined love very specifically. The Christ-like love that John describes is not something you're ever going to make yourself do because it doesn't come from you. God, the God who is love, this is the way we talked about that last week, the God who is love takes up residence in our life, and His disposition of love in time becomes our disposition of love so that we love as Christ loves. And how did Jesus love? He delighted in the Father and that overflowed in compassion for the people that were around Him. John is not an idealist, though. He gets very practical. So remember not only that definition of love, but also the source of love, but also remember that God has particularly equipped you to love in certain ways. John said this in our previous text: "If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." How does he say to love? If you have the world's goods and see your brother in need, give the world's goods to them. You can't give somebody what you don't have. And often, Christians carry guilt and shame because they don't have the capacity to meet someone else's needs. They see someone else in need, but God has not stewarded them the things they need to help that person. We have to recognize our own limitations. We're not God. But now, if you have the ability to meet someone else's needs, especially a Christian brother or sister, and you don't, that's sin, right? But guess what? God can handle sin too. So if you've been equipped to love somebody and you failed to do it, even that is not a formula for despair. Instead, confess to God how you failed to love and ask the Holy Spirit to deepen your delight in God and your compassion toward others. If you've told someone, promised someone that you would love them, but you failed to actually do it, let's be very clear. That's a damnable, hypocritical sin. And God loves and forgives and restores damnable hypocrites. So confess your sin to God and ask him to make your heart like his. Ask him to give you such great delight in him and such compassion for others that you can't stop yourself from meeting those needs. That you become so much like Jesus in your generosity that people are saying, stop it. Stop giving away everything you have. But only God can do that. Only God can make us like God, so ask him to do it. Ask for the miracle of your affections being changed so that you love not in word alone, but in deed as well. And as he makes that change in you, your confidence will grow. Why? Because you know it's not from you. You know who you are left to yourself. You know your own selfishness. But if that comes to life in you, it's a sign of the Holy Spirit's work. Look again at verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. When you're seeking things, when you're seeking for faith, for love, for holiness, when you're praying for these things, what does God do? He gives them. You think God's going to hear your prayer for faith and say, nah, or holiness, no, it's okay. Love for Christian brothers, no way. No, of course he's going to grant those things. This verse is not promising you riches and success and everything you want. What it's promising is that if you are engaged with God, filled with the Spirit, abiding in Christ, if you are chasing after him, he will change your heart to want what he wants. What are we going to be asking for? For faith, for love, for holiness, we'll talk about it in a minute. Or maybe you see someone in need, say, Lord, this person's in need, and I don't have the ability to help them. Will you give me the capacity to love this person well? These are the kinds of prayers that when we're abiding in Christ and submitting to the Spirit, he delights to answer on our behalf. But maybe that's not you. Maybe your love for Christian brothers and sisters and for others is not the reason you struggle with assurance. Maybe it's this third category, which is your holiness or your lack thereof, your struggle against sin. So if you feel condemned because of behavior in your life that's not like Jesus, what can you do? Get ready to write. We've got four on a quick shot here. First, again, examine what God has actually commanded, kind of going back to that original comment I made. Second, convince where you're convinced you have failed. Third, believe the promises God made about you. And ask for the Spirit's sanctifying work. So if you're disobeying God's moral commands, that's a problem. If you're not obeying the things that Jesus taught, that's sin. But as I've already said, sin is not an unsolvable problem. God knows you're a sinner. In fact, you're way worse of a sinner than you realize, and he knows everything. And yet, His arms are open to you. So don't be surprised by your own sin. Don't be surprised that you need Jesus. Instead, go to him, confessing your sin and believing what he's promised about your holiness. What has he promised? He's promised if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But he's also made some other promises we saw a few weeks ago. What's going to happen when Jesus comes back? If you're a Christian, you're going to be made pure as Jesus is pure. Your sin is going to be eradicated forever. And he has promised that between now and then, he's going to grow you in holiness. You have to believe the promises God has made about your holiness. You can grow. You will grow. You have to believe that promise instead of the things the world and the flesh are telling you. So believe what God has told you and then ask the Holy Spirit, make me like Jesus. When was the last time you went before God and said, will you make me like Jesus? God, help me to love as he loves, to live as he lived. May other people see Jesus in me. He's promised he would do it. So ask him to keep his promises. And as he makes that change in you, as he makes you more like Jesus, your confidence will grow. You'll see signs that you are a Christian. It's not from you, it's from him. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is by this that we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And as he does this work in us, we start to find this assurance. I am a child of God. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit in me, I can see and know that I'm a child of God. So when you're afraid you don't belong to God, there's a path to assurance. So when you're afraid you don't belong to God, there's a reason for it. It's your heart. Your heart is condemning you for one reason or another, and it might be a right reason, it might be a wrong reason, but take these three things into consideration that John identifies: your faith, your holiness, and your love for Christian brother and sister. The solution is not just work harder on this stuff, just do better. Instead, this is the sense of the text. I know your notes are done. This is really the heart of it. In a sense of utter inability, we go to God in light of the gospel, begging the Holy Spirit to build up our faith, to deepen our love, to strengthen our holiness. If you're relying on behavioral systems, strategies, practical methods to assure your heart that you're really saved, your assurance will last as long as you can keep up with those things. Like if I gave you, here are the five steps that can assure you that you're a Christian, you're going to do great as long as you're doing those five steps and then you mess it up. The gospel roots our assurance not in what you do, but in what God does in and through you. The Holy Spirit works in a way that makes nothing of you and everything of Jesus. Paul said that God is glorified when we're weak, not when we're strong. And it's in a place of weak dependence upon the Spirit that we find our assurance. And if your life is spent on your knees begging God for mercy and help, if that is the tone and tenor of your life, then you'll have confidence before God. Because the only confidence to be found is in the work of Christ. Assurance is not found through your improvement, through your strength. Assurance is found through your weakness and the Spirit's strength, in your deficiency and God's provision. Assurance is found in taking your condemning heart to God and saying, I got nothing. Remind me of the gospel. Preach the gospel to me. Transform me with your presence. Help me to love like you, to be like you, so that all of me becomes more like Jesus. Teach me to abide in you and to lean on nothing else. In that place of utter need and dependence upon God, we find our assurance. If you're not operating with a sense of deficiency and need and brokenness, I encourage you, do business with God. That would concern me actually more. If you're convinced, oh, I'm good with God, that impulse would make me tremble more than I've got a sin problem. We've all got a sin problem. I've got nothing to offer. None of us have got anything to offer God. It's from that place of deficiency and need. what do we find? We find a God who, when he came to earth, who did he spend time with? It wasn't the religious people that had their acts together. It was with the tax collector that everybody hated, with the prostitute that everyone shamed, with the children and the women who were forgotten and marginalized. It was the people who knew they had nothing, who knew reality, that none of us have anything to offer God. And so in Christ, he offered everything we have. Friends, if you feel like you've got nothing, guess what? God loves you, and he's done everything you need in the work of Christ. Entrust yourself to him, and as you do, you'll have assurance. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends here today. Teach them how to be weak. Teach them to not be self-sufficient. Teach them to be honest with their sin, their weakness of faith, their failures of love. May they not carry false assurance or false insecurity. Instead, may they listen to your commandments and flee to the cross. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in each of our lives, that we would grow in assurance, not because of some intellectual gymnastics or disciplinary routines, but because of the Holy Spirit who witnesses with our spirit that we're children of God. Holy Spirit, do this work in us. Give us comfort and security and assurance in the good news of Jesus. This we pray in his name. Amen.